Let's worship him. Let's bless him. Lord Jesus, come. Let's exalt him. Thank him. Thank him. Father, we exalt you. Bless the Lord. Bless the Jesus. Bless the Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Even so, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have prayed. We have fasted. We have planned. Here we are. God. I want us to shout hallelujah one more time. God has been so good to us. God has been so faithful to us. Welcome us to this great, because the one who called the meeting is great God. Hallelujah. My job this night is the job of John the Baptist. Just welcome us. First of all, I want to appreciate every one of us here. Thank God for grace, privilege for us to be alive. Be alive, God. Thank you for coming. Thank you, sir. Okay. I want to welcome us for coming. God bless you. I want to specially welcome my pastor, my dear pastor, and his wife, Pastor Simeon Afolabi and Pastor Ruth Afolabi. Good evening, ma'am. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for the gift of access. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. You've been there all the way. Thank you for... I know this is the first time we are using First Love Assembly, but we've been using First Love Assembly since the inception. Since 2012, and we have not been asked to pay a dime. And that's not because I'm a member of the church, but because of the hearts of the servants of God, and I cannot afford to take that lightly. Thank you so much, sir. Everything since 2012 in Port Harcourt, no dime. Everything, you know, we run from Friday from 5 to 8, Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the generator is running. No dime. And that is not enough. You know, for you to have a place where you can function freely, express the gifting of God in your life, not every place you can do that. I can tell you that. I've been at the other side, and I can tell you that. One of the greatest things that happened to me is the decision to leave what I was doing and then to come to this ministry. When I was leaving, it was like no future. But I thank God that when I joined this church, not only did I find the future, destiny, and I also find the right environment to fulfill that. Because there's another thing for you to find the vision, to know what you need to do, but to be in the wrong environment. It's as if you don't even know anything. But I found myself in the right environment where you can do what God has put in your heart, and there is no restriction. I'm telling you, you don't really understand what I'm talking about. I don't think you understand, because for me, there's some ministry you can't even say God gave you vision to write a book. No, it's the set man, the overseer that must write. Every other person doesn't see vision. Yeah, but to be in a church where you are free, and I'm not the only one doing this. We have other ministries in the church that is doing that. So I don't take that for granted, Dad. Thank you so much. Even though you don't like us calling you daddy, but me, I've chosen not to call you daddy because you don't like it. But I call you my dear pastor. Thank you so much, sir, for your spirit, not just in what you say, but your spirit, your depth of character. Thank you, sir. I want to thank God for every member of First Love Assembly. Thank you so much. This is the first time we are hosting it in this auditorium, First Love Assembly. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's been wonderful. You've been asking us, how are we doing? How far with the program? Thank you so, so much. Pastor Ita, thank you. You know you're my friend now. We've been friends. And anywhere you go, God just keep taking me there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You and your wife has been so dear to us as a family, the ministry. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for your support. I remember the first time we had it in Port Harcourt, you were there live, me and your wife. I won't forget such day. Thank you so much. Thank you. I want to appreciate our wonderful team. Thank you so much, Bishop Inka. Thank you. This is our coordination in Lagos, Bishop Inka Ajakaye. Right from when I was in Lagos State Polytechnic, one of the best things that happened to me is to attend Lagos State Polytechnic. That's why I met this great man of God. Great man of God, yes. But I met him in Lagos. And even my wife, I met her at Lagos State Polytechnic. We got married. So, different people. Thank you so much, Auntie Mega. You know, before Lagos, now we've been there. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Grace, Uforma, thank you. Sammy Sars, God bless you. And Mama D, for the first time, she came to Lagos. Immortality Readiness Conference, Lagos. Deaconess Modupe Okaimo, thank you for coming all the way from Port Harcourt. Yeah, this is the first time in Immortality Readiness Conference, Port Harcourt. I know that you'll be surprised. Yeah. We actually wanted to come and greet, but we were told that you are busy, so... Yeah, Mama D, about 8 persons came from Port Harcourt. Thank you for that long journey to be here. And all the students, people from Igbogbo, and then other students that will be joining all the way from Badagry, Lasso, and all that. We pray that God will bring you here safely in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I've already spent 8 minutes to do that. I think it's worth it anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you. I thank you for every member of Pastor Chinedu. God bless you. Thank you for coming. My brother, thank you. But a good man, thank you. Valari, thank you. The principal, Brother Richard, thank you. I call him the principal. Brother John, thank you so much for running around, making sure that everything is safe. Thank you so much. Brother Charles Benson, thank you. Pastor Humphrey, thank you so much. For all those where I've been disturbing you, giving me information, how to get this, how to get that. Thank you so, 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 so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. And we cannot thank you enough for what you've done for us. For what you've done for us. We know where you picked us from. And we don't want you to remind us. And we have come to remind ourselves when we are nobody. When we are rotting in sin, you brought us out to cleanse us by your blood. You wash us clean. And you put desire in our heart to love you and long for you. We exalt you. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Thank you for today. Thank you for making today reality. We thank you, Lord, for what you are going to do going forward. Thank you for what you've done already. And we ask, so God, as we look into your word briefly, and as your servant come today, after now, and tomorrow, the guest speaker also come, I pray, Lord, you begin to open our heart to what you want us to do, and your name alone will be glorified. We exalt and bless you. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. Yeah, sorry, I must do this, because if I don't do that, it won't be fine. Please let me welcome my beloved sister, my blood sister. Auntie Shola, God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. Yeah. Thank you. And our daughter, Fumi. Auntie Shola, in fact, she was the first baby that got born again in my family when we were still dancing in the world. Please, can you please stand up? This is Auntie Shola. This is my sister, my beloved sister. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. And funny enough, this is also our first time for coming for a month. Like, there's something about First Love Assembly that is bringing people for the first time. God bless you, man. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. The first place to God born again in our family. Pray for all of us. Preaching to us. We just don't worry. We don't want to God born again. But here we are. Thank you. At least I know today you'll be so happy. Yeah, to see the travail of your soul. Thank you. God bless you, man, for honoring this meeting. Thank you. Okay. Like my pastor would say, my job is just a forerunner. Hebrews chapter 9, Pastor Itua read that. That's our text. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Let me read from the New King James Version. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. My job is just, we'll just read scriptures and then let us know why we are here and why this thing. So Christ, can we start from verse 24? Sorry, verse 26. Let's start from verse 26 because of time. I have just 28 minutes to go. Yeah, it says, "He then who have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the ages." At the end of the ages. At the end of the ages. I hope you know that this is the end of the ages. We are in the end of the ages. This is the end time, the last days, the present time, the last hour. So this is the end of the ages. So the Bible says, "But now once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." You know, I used to think that the end of the age actually started at Pentecost. I used to think until when we attended End Time Summit, and then you brought this out. That was my first time seeing it. If I have to go back to check, because I've always believed that the end of the age started at Pentecost. But if you read Hebrews chapter 1 that day, I won't forget. Yeah, I have to go back and check because I've always believed that, and I've always thought that. But I saw that in Hebrews chapter. So Christ, at the end of the ages, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So what I'm making us see here is that the Christ is the one, the coming of Christ, the first coming of Christ is what marked the end of this age, as in the beginning of the last days. His coming, his first advent, is what started the end of the age. So from that time of Christ's first coming, we have been at the end of the age. Are you understanding that? Okay, so can we go back, please? So, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 27. "As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." Verse 28. That's where we are going. So, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Look at this. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin. For what? He will appear the second time apart from sin for salvation. Now, who is he going to appear to? Those who are eagerly waiting for him. So he's not going to appear to just anybody. Not just people who are born again, but those who are eagerly waiting for him. Let me start by saying that information is very important when it comes to journey of life. It's good you are exposed to right information. Because if you're going to navigate the journey of life successfully, then you must be acquainted with right information. Because when you have the right information, it helps you to prepare adequately. That is if you are wise, actually. There's an adage in my play that says, Arrow, ogun atosotele kin paro aro to ba gbon eh eh ogun atosotele kin paro. You know, when a crippled man has been forewarned about a danger, about a war, if he has been forewarned, he says such a war or such a battle or such a danger will not overtake the crippled man, even though he's crippled. Though he's crippled, because he has been forewarned, he won't enter into danger. But they had there something to heed that is a crippled man that is wise. Because you can hear it and then do nothing. You understand what I'm talking about? So, what we are talking about, what I'm making us to see here is that the essence of Immortality Readiness Conference is for us to have information. Sound information that will equip us to prepare adequately for the times in which we live, and then to prepare adequately for the coming of Christ. Because He's going to come. Hello? He's going to come. So if I'm going to travel out of this country, or out of the country, for example, and I got an information that where I'm going, at that time, their weather is going to be winter. If I'm wise, then that information should do something to my preparation. So which means there's some certain clothes I have to pack along. There's some certain clothes I can't wear at that season, because I already have an information that season is season of winter. You understand what I'm talking about? So, adequate information is what prepares us. When you don't have an information about the thing we are talking about, you will discover that life will be so miserable. And that is the essence of this. If you check, let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Let me show you something about information. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Paul speaking, he said, but concerning the times and the what and the season, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Why? He said, for you know yourself, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so come as a thief in the night. You know perfectly. Now, why will Paul say you know perfectly? Which means that when Paul was with them, he has taught them adequately. And so when he was writing to them, he was telling them that you know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief. And so the essence of Immortality Readiness Conference is to be taught accurately. You know, Isaiah chapter 33 verse 3, it says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your time. You know, look at what happened during COVID-19, for example. The whole world was thrown into confusion. And the sad thing is that believers were also confused. So many theories. Oh, that don't take the jab. That's the Antichrist. That is this. Oh, G5. That is the Antichrist. That's the mark of the beast. Why do you think that people think like that? Why were people so afraid, agitated, anxious, afraid? Because of lack of proper understanding about eschatology, about the last days. So what should have get up excited brings sorrow of heart. And so when you understand what we are talking about, friends, you will understand the essence to eagerly. So it's not a time to dread, my friend. No. The coming of the Lord is not a time to dread. It's a season to be excited. Because we are looking forward to the one we love. Huh? No, why do you feel so sad about someone you say you love? For me, if you are not eagerly expecting his coming, then I question your love for him. Because ordinarily, you can imagine, for example, now, you people have tied me down it's not you that tied me down in Lagos. I've been in Lagos for close to 3 weeks. When I knew my wife was coming, I was eagerly waiting for her. I say, I don't understand. I was eagerly waiting for her. There was this expectation that she's coming. I wasn't sad. Because I've missed her. Are you understand what I'm talking about? Because I love her. You don't get sad when you are looking forward to someone you love. Hello? Any other thing doesn't make sense. You just want to see the person you love. That's what preoccupies your mind. So why do we feel so sad? Why are we agitated when we hear about the coming of Christ? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Let's read that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Because I want us to leave this conference with a new attitude. To behold, to long for. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. See, this is Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Verse 8. Finally, ever say finally. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. I love this. Not to me only, but also to all who love. It's appearing. Who love is appearing. Do you love is appearing? He said, not only to me, but all those who love is appearing. That's what we're talking about. Apostle said, I am sure that the righteous judge is going to give me that reward. And not only to me alone, but all those who love is appearing. So which means that as a believer, there must be this longing in our heart for his appearing. That's what it means. There must be this eagerness. And let me say this. When we talk this way, we're not talking about dying. Because death is not going to bring us to that dimension. When we say we are eagerly looking forward to his coming, we're not talking about dying. Look at what Paul said. See, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Which day? Not the day of his death. Not the day of Paul's death, the day of Christ's coming. Because Paul is long gone, but he has not come to that dimension of life. Paul is dead, gone, but he has not come to this dimension of life that he's talking about. Because the day has not come. Hello? So we're not talking about dying. Because it is not death, listen to this, it is not death that will bring us to that, that will bring us to immortality. It's not death. It is his coming. So when I say we are looking forward to his coming, we are not talking about dying. We are talking about coming, it's him, looking forward to his coming. We are excited about his coming. We are not praying for death. No. Because even if I die, I will not enter that dimension of life. Are you understanding this? So it's not death. It's not death that will bring us to immortality. He will come to us. It's the him that will bring us to immortality, not death. So I'm not praying for death when we say we are eagerly looking forward to his coming. I'm not praying for death. Because it's not death that will bring us there. Hallelujah. Let me say this to us. You know, when a believer die, for example, we know that what is with the Lord is his spirit. Right? Because the Bible tells us that. Is a spirit. And that spirit is immaterial. There's no relationship. There's no communication. Nothing is going on. And that was why when Jesus died, you know, when he was by that thief, when the thief said, "Remember me when you enter your kingdom," he said, Jesus told the thief, he said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise," right? Yeah. But where did Jesus actually go when he died? His spirit went to be with the Lord. But when he died, his body was buried. He was in the grave for 3 days. Hello? He was in the grave. Because when he rose from the dead, now when he was in the grave, was there an interaction between him and the Father? Please, no. No. Because when he rose from the grave on the third day, and he was coming, he came out of the grave and met Mary. Mary wanted to hug him. He said, "No, don't hug me. Because I have not ascended to my Father, your Father." So which means that when since he died, he has not been with the Lord. Even though his spirit has been with the Lord. What I'm making us to see, friends, there's that dimension of life is not something you enter by death. And I'm just going to show us. Hello? So he came out from the grave. Now, that statement shows to me there have not been any interaction between God and the Father, between Jesus Christ and the Father. Because I have not ascended to my Father. Because just as the high priest must enter the holiest of holies, the holiest place to offer the blood for atonement, our high priest Jesus Christ also entered. And that happened when he rose from the dead. So, what I'm making us to see, when a believer dies, there's an aspect where you say he has gone to be with the Lord. But not fully and not totally. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 15. From verse 5. Because I don't want us to have this mentality that when we talk about eagerly waiting for the coming of God, we're talking about death. No. No, we're not talking about death. We want to see him. And the Bible says it is those who are eagerly waiting for him that will see him. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From verse 1, New Living Translation, please. We'll just read and allow the scriptures to just speak for itself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 1. 2 Corinthians, okay? Look at this. Paul said, "For we know." You see the word again, "no"? Huh? No. So which means that he has been teaching them these things. See, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands." So this is something we know, that when this earthly house is, the earthly house I'm talking about is this body, this jacket, this earthly jacket. He said, "When we put off this," he said, "we are sure there's an eternal house that is made for us in heaven." Okay, verse 2. Look at this. Verse 2. He said, "We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on heavenly bodies like new clothing." Now, the word "long" is the same thing that means eagerly waiting. We long. Now, you say "we." So, which means that this should be the experience of every believer. There must be a longing in my heart to put off this earthly body and that to put on that spiritual body.
And friends, when are we going to do that? Is it at death? No, not at death. Because every believer that have died right now, they don't have the body yet. So Paul said, we are groaning, we are longing. Verse 3, look at verse 3. Look at something here. Verse 3. Look at this. For we put on heavenly bodies, we will not be spirits without what? Bodies. Look at, do you understand this? He said, when we put on that heavenly bodies, we are not going to be spirits without body. So Paul is saying, no, what I'm seeking after is not to be spirit without bodies. I don't want to be spirit without bodies, because those who have died, they are spirit without bodies. When Jesus rose from the dead and he showed himself to the disciples, and the Bible said they were afraid, he said, no, touch me, because spirits don't have bone and flesh as you see me have. Are you understanding this? So Paul is not talking about dying, because death won't do the job. He said, we don't want to be spirit without bodies. All the heroes of faith, all the apostles that have died, they are spirit without body. And when Jesus died also, he was spirit without that body. Until he rose again the third day. That's when he has that body, that spiritual body, that eternal body. And that is the same body we are looking forward to have, like what Pastor Itua shared with us. That we are going to put off this mortal flesh and put on immortal flesh. Let's read on. When we leave these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die. Friends, we are not talking about dying. We don't want to die. I'm not praying for death. When I say I'm eagerly waiting for his coming, I'm not praying for death. Death, I don't have an appointment with death, and you don't have an appointment with death. Death has been abolished by Christ Jesus. Death will not come to us. We will go when we are ready. And that's why when a believer died, the Bible said they are sleeping. They are unconscious. They don't know what is happening. Waiting for the day when Jesus will come. And it will be as if they just slept and wake up. Even though thousands of years have passed. That's an experience they're coming into. And that's why we have to understand this, so that there can be a longing in our heart for that destination. Because this is who we are. This is not who we are. This is not we. This is not all about us. What did the Bible say in 1 John chapter 3? Is it chapter 3? Yeah, chapter 3 from verse 1. What did the Bible say? Remind me. Yeah, principal. Behold, all what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And he said to us, he said, it has not even yet appeared what we shall be. He said, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see as he is. So let's go back to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I have 6 more minutes. Where are we? He said, we groan aside, but not that we want to die and get rid of this body. We're not praying for death that clothed us. Rather, we want to put on new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed by life. That's what we are looking forward to. That's our eagerness. That's our longing. Not death. I'm not praying for death. When we say we are eagerly waiting for his coming. For himself, God himself, has prepared us for this. Look at this. And as a guarantee, he gave us his Holy Spirit. As a guarantee, that is, it is sure, sir. With the Spirit of God inside of you, we are sure of the destination. It doesn't matter what the devil does. We are sure he gave us his Spirit to settle us. Even in the midst of calamity, in the midst of troubles of this world, friends, we are settled. We are not perturbed. We are not shaking, because we know that He has given us His Spirit as a guarantee that home is sure. That doesn't matter. Even if the whole world crumble, we know we are going. As long as we pay attention to this God and follow Him. You know, it doesn't matter what the believer go through in this world. And that's what Paul says, our present suffering cannot be compared with the glory that will be revealed. You know why we are so carried away by so many things? Because we don't even see that, the glory. Huh? Verse 6. So we are always confident. Even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, look at, we are not at home with the Lord. As long as we live in this body. So when we say a believer has gone to be with the Lord, that's a low level of being with the Lord. The higher level of being with the Lord is this. Because as long as we don't have that body, and when a believer dies, they don't have the body yet. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's read that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13. And then we'll read one more, then I'm done. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know that what will happen to believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring with Him the believers who have died. Is that where we are? Okay, we tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet Him ahead of those who have died. For Himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of call of God. First, the believers who have died will raise from the graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. What's the next thing? Then, we will be with the Lord forever. Then, we will be with the Lord forever. Because we can't be with Him forever when we don't have the body. Bible says, I think Pastor Ito read that, flesh and blood cannot inherit that place. It takes that spiritual body to come to that dimension of life. And we're going to come to that dimension of life by the Spirit of God when Christ comes. Hallelujah. And so there must be a longing in our heart. But let's see something here, friends. It is not just the believer of the New Testament that have this longing. Even Job had this longing. Job 19, verse 25. Let's read that. And then I'll close. Job 19. Look at this. Let's read from the New King James. And then we'll come back. If I see after, we'll come back to New. Okay? For I know that my Redeemer lives. You know Job, right? We all know Job, right? And he shall stand at last on the earth. Eh? This is Job. Hey, friends, I don't know, but if this one doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will get you excited. This is Job. Huh? In the Old Testament. Talking about Christ when He has not even come the first time. And he said, I know. Sir, how did he know? He said, I know. He shall stand at last on the earth. Let's read on. Verse 26. He said, after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I will see God. after my skin is destroyed, this I know, in my flesh I will see him. Which one will be destroyed? This one. But there's another one that I'm going to see him in, not the one that is corrupted. That what Pastor Ito has shared. Huh? He said, look at whom I will see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Oh, look at that. How my heart yearns within me. What is his heart yearning for? Seeing him. Can we read that in the New Living Translation, please? Verse 26 and 27. Say, but as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. Friends, it will happen. Job in the Old Testament, talking about the second coming of Christ, when he has not even been born. Hey, what a dimension of life. What kind of revelation is that? You are seeing the coming of a man at the second coming, when he has not even come the first time. Friends, I don't understand. Look at the life these people lived. A man, that was the day of his suffering. Even though at this point he was broken, suffering, lost his children, but that does not take away his revelation about God. A man speaking about the second coming of Christ, even when his forefather has not even been born. Look at what he says. I know he shall stand upon the head at last. The next verse, please. And after my body is decayed, yet in my body I will see God. The next verse. I see him for myself. Yes, I will see him within my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at that thought. I yearn. I groan for this. That's what we are groaning for. Not for death. We want to see the one we proclaim that we love. And if you truly love him, then there must be that eagerness to see him. Hallelujah. God bless you. Let's welcome Brother Sam. Sam Carlo as a minister to us. Thank you so much. God bless you. Relax. And I believe that today, tomorrow, God is going to reach out to us. Yeah, Pastor Jay is also in town. And then my pastor is in the house. Please take note. Open your heart and let God speak to you. You will not regret it. Thank you.